Alrighty. Staff of Blessings, everyone. If you can, please kneel so that we can start with a prayer. And please bow your hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing us with this holy Sabbath day, another day of rest and blessings, and where we may come together and hear the truth and spend time and study and gain more wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. We ask that you please continue to bless us all with more truth, and that we may have opportunity to present it to others, and that they may share in the same joys that we are blessed with. Out of my tongue today and the other tongue that speaks on your behalf. And please bless all prayers in the minds and hearts of your people. And we thank you for blessing us with your Holy Spirit so that we can speak the truth. And we thank you for sending your Son to die for our sins. And it's his name that we pray in. And his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Well, Sabbath blessings, everyone. Alrighty. So, today we're going to start off with 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 to 13, which says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." One of the things that I can be certain in my life is that when I became a Christian, my life became more difficult. All of a sudden, I started having all these kinds of problems and all these kinds of issues. And it's not to say that people don't have issues in their lives, even without Christ, because they do. But all of a sudden, there were these strange, peculiar trials that began to rise up. Started with, I had trials with my relationship, and later on with my family. And I even had peculiar trials of mine, wherein Satan threw temptations, strange temptations, in my direction. For example, tempting me to believe that I had committed the unpardonable sin. Matthew chapter 12, verses 31 to 32 says, "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." Of course, I hadn't done this, but I did not know what it truly meant to commit blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Satan well knew this, and he took advantage of my mind's lack of knowledge and tempted me greatly with this. But such an intense and strange trial is a means that was used by God to help bring me closer to him. And yes, the trials which we have, sometimes we go through things where we don't truly understand everything that's going on, in which we need to gain more knowledge to have a better sight of what's going on. But that's also why they say hindsight is 20/20. But yes, trials, no matter how strange or how intense they may come upon us, are a means of which God uses to bring us closer to Him, no matter how awful they just may seem. Truly, in trial, you have two options: to get closer to God or to separate from Him. And this is true even if you think of something when a church-wide trial comes along, when you think of something like the shaking. There's really only two options for each individual member within the church family. When things begin to shake, regardless of how much or how little wisdom an individual may have, because there will be babes in Christ and there will be individuals who are rather seasoned, you still have individuals who will stay, and you still will have individuals who will go, and sometimes that means even bright lights go out. But when things shake, you have either two options. You either can hold on to God tighter as the shaking starts and begins and as it continues to go on, or as it is shaking, you begin to loosen your grip. In general, these kinds of things don't happen immediately. In general, you'll put yourself on a position, put yourself on a pathway where you're going to let go of Christ by the time a shaking comes. But 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 tells us, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Was the temptation, which I was experiencing when I think of my youth, and even as we go through trials now, was it too much for me to bear? You know, despite the fact that the information that I had was a severe lack, you know, I hadn't been properly taught in the Scriptures, I hadn't been properly guided in the Scriptures, the answer is no. While that trial and trials like it are perplexing to the uttermost, it was not of such a fury that would be above that which I was able to handle. Although in the moment, we may have a mindset such as where you feel as if, try to convince me that I can handle this. But the fact that you're going through it means you can deal with it. And as awful as it is that these trials burn upon us, again, there are means of which God uses to bring us into closer communion with Him. These are our means and ways that God uses to bring our characters to more fully reflect Jesus. We can't handle the trial with a murmuring disposition and in a mindset that it's upset with God. We must move forward and trust Him and believe that He is with us. We have to exercise our faith. We have to. In Romans chapter 8, verses 35, 38, and 39, it says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." This we need to know and have set in our hearts. Though we will be brought into difficult trials wherein we lack sometimes the wisdom to feel as if we can handle it immediately, or whatever else we may feel that we may lack, God will make up that lack. He will bless us if we trust Him and we remain obedient. And when I think about trials like that and such like, when I think about that time when I was going through that thought process, being tempted to believe I had committed blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, what I still possessed in that time was the will to remain obedient. And so even though there was a temptation in this thought process, which Satan was using to try to take advantage, I would choose to obey no matter what. And this is what we must do. That no matter what kinds of discouraging circumstances are going to be brought to us, because they are going to, especially in the coming days, when we know that church and state will unite against the commandment keepers of God, especially in the coming days, will there be trials, which would seem as if we are in at impossible places, as if it may be possible that we would not be able to overcome. But we will, if we remain obedient. No matter what kinds of things are taken away from us, and no matter what kinds of things are pulled away from us, we must trust in Him. If we turn to a moment, we can read a little bit about what happened with Job and how he was, you know, seen as a perfect man. In Job chapter 1, verses 13 to 22, it says, "And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in the eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job, and said, The oxen were plowing, and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them, and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "The fire of God is fallen from heaven, and hath burned up the sheep and the servants, and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "The Chaldeans made out three bands, and fell upon the camels, and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee." Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. Not complained, worshipped, and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. This is a mindset that we must have. Sometimes you will be even, dare I say, forced, or brought to a point, rather, where you will essentially have to utter these same words. Job chapter 2, verses 7 to 10. "So went Satan from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal. And he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? And all this did not Job sin with his lips." Every good thing that could have been counted and deemed as a temporal blessing was taken away from him. He lost his oxen, his sheep, his asses, his servants, his camels, even his sons and daughters. And then, when his own health was being taken from him, his own wife turned to him and said, to curse God and die. It's very clear that she was also affected by the same trials that he was, but he more sorely, as it was evident that sore boils were upon his body. And yet she still gave in to the temptations of Satan. But Job, he didn't sin with his lips. He retained the will to obey God no matter how awful the outward circumstances looked to him. And this is what we all must have in possession of ourselves. We must possess that will to remain obedient no matter how awful it looks, because it is going to get pretty bad. It is going to get very bad. If we have the obedient will, then God will supply us the faith, will supply us the strength, will supply us the wisdom to continue to move forward. First Peter chapter 5 verse 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. In Isaiah chapter 59 verse 19, it says, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun, when the enemy shall come in like a flood. The Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. When trial and temptation come upon us, and they will, Satan will come upon and come after God's remnant people, and then we should flee to Jesus and cling unto him and to our Father. And by faith and by trust, we shall be blessed. And we will be helped in these trials which we are experiencing. Yeah, we may have to wrestle with God for a long time. We may have to pray hard. Sometimes you may have to even be up all night in prayer, pleading with God, asking for his blessing. But then to experience such bitter trials and to experience and have to go through such things is a blessing for us. It grants us greater faith. We become prepared to stand for future trials. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 6 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And so the temptation, the thought that I had committed blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, happened more than once. And the last being severely worse than the first. And yet such trials are a preparation for what is to come. Sister White says in Spirit of Prophecy, Volume 4, page 440, paragraph 2, the time of trouble, such as never was, is soon to open upon us, and we shall need an experience which we do not now possess, and which many are too indolent to obtain. It is often the case that trouble is greater in anticipation than in reality, but this is not true of the crisis before us. The most vivid presentation cannot reach the magnitude of the ordeal. And now, while the precious Savior is making an atonement for us, we should seek to become perfect in Christ. God's providence is the school in which we are to learn the meekness and lowliness of Jesus. The Lord is ever setting before us, not the way we would choose, which is easier and pleasanter to us, but the true aims of life. None can neglect or defer this work, but at the most fearful peril to their souls. And so, brethren, we are preparing to stand a most fearful test. There may be some who are tempted and think that they can choose the easier and pleasanter way, thinking that, well, you know, not that of course it's a blessing to die for Christ. But one may desire to choose to die for him so that they don't have to go through all of this. And so be able to escape the trial of buying and selling, or even the trial that the 144,000 will have to experience. But that is not the mind of God. And if we choose to purposely neglect so that we don't have to go through such things, it is at the most fearful peril to our souls, as she says. Therefore, we must prepare. We must be prepared for the trial of our lives, wherein we will have to stand sinless, living in the sight of a perfect, holy, and just God without an intercessor. Let us not think that we can do such a thing at this time now, but let us continue and let us pray and ask God for strength and to help prepare the way for us to go through that. On page 438, paragraph 2, she says, "The season of distress and anguish before us will require a faith that can endure weariness, delay, and hunger. A faith that will not faint, though severely tried. The period of probation is granted to all to prepare for that time. Jacob prevailed because he was persevering and determined. His victory is an evidence of the power of importunate prayer. All who will lay hold on God's promises as he did and be as earnest and persevering as he was will succeed as he succeeded. Those who are unwilling to deny self, to agonize before God, to pray long and earnestly for his blessing, will not obtain it." Wrestling with God. How few know what it is. How few have ever had their souls drawn out after God with intensity of desire until every power is on the stretch. When waves of despair, which no language can express, sweep over the suppliant, how few cling with unyielding faith to the promises of God. Think of how long or how dreadful even some of the trials you may have already been through. When I think about the temptation to think you committing blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, I do not ever recall any of those trials ever lasting for a singular day. They lasted for many days, and the last of which lasted for quite some time. Trials of such a distressing magnitude, we simply have to endure. Get used to the fact that it's going to get more intense. As you get stronger and walk with Christ, it becomes more intense. Especially as we approach the final crisis of these last days, we must get used to such peculiar trials. And we will be thrown into perplexing situations. But those who trust in God, though suffering such distress, will not fail because they have trusted Him. Page 436, paragraph 1. "As Satan accuses the people of God on account of their sins, the Lord permits him to try them to the uttermost. Their confidence in God, their faith and firmness will be severely tested. As they review the past, their hopes sink, for in their whole lives they can see little good. They are fully conscious of their weakness and unworthiness. Satan endeavors to terrify them with the thought that their cases are hopeless, that the stain of their defilement will never be washed away. He hopes to so destroy their faith that they will yield to his temptations and turn from their allegiance to God. And that, brethren, is the purpose that Satan comes to us with such temptations. But God permits it to be used for our good. In everything that Satan throws at us, he hopes to turn the people of God away from him. And then they will turn and serve Satan. Satan is currently trying to number the entire world as his subjects. And with those who are supposed to be keeping the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus, choose to be part of his charred trophy case? Or will they, no matter what is happening, no matter how distressing, no matter how much they lose, cling to God? Will hunger cause them to turn their backs upon God? Will delay? I mean, do we allow these kinds of things to turn us away now? Again, says Sister White on page 439, paragraph 1, those who exercise but little faith now are in the greatest danger of falling under the power of satanic delusions and the decree to compel the conscience. And even if they endure the test, they will be plunged into deeper distress and anguish in the time of trouble because they have not made it a habit to trust in God. The lessons of faith which they have neglected, they will be forced to learn under a terrible pressure of discouragement. The preparation which we are preparing for that time also makes that time easier, as distressing as it's going to be. So why would anyone choose to neglect to prepare for such a time? Why would anyone settle and have their mind set to not be a part of that number? Do not think this way, brethren. Prepare for the time to come. Because if you will not, you are in the greatest danger of falling away. Though you may have stood with your brothers and sisters through the multitudes of shakings, through the multitudes of lies that have popped up that Satan has thrown into the church to try to pull souls away. If you do not trust in God, if you do not obey him, if you do not prepare for the time to come, you are in the greatest danger. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35 to 37. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. And so, brethren, we have need of the trials which come upon us, for they teach us this needed patience. They teach us to rely upon God and to trust in Christ. Then let us, all who truly believe in Christ, do that. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Do we believe this? Do we fully believe this? Do we believe that we can overcome every single defect? Do we believe that we can manifest a Christ-like patience no matter how intense the trials that come upon us? We must. We must flee to God when we need help. And while we fully put our trust in God, not to replace him, but do not fear to make even members of his family, of which individuals you can speak with and ask them to help pray about your peculiar trials. do not feel as if you are alone. The people of God are all to press together in unity. All to press together. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7, when talking of charity, it says, charity beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. While putting our full faith and trust in God, do not feel that it is a positive necessity for you to completely remain silent and not ask for help or seek help if you need it. If you actually ever read the Earth Testimonies, which you should, especially Volume 1, you actually can read how Sister White talks about her own life and how some of her trials were rendered worse because she would not say anything. It took her time to say anything to her brother, and she would not talk to her mother. The trials which she was experiencing, she kept it so close and bottled up. Now, I'm not saying that we have to go and we have to start complaining or that we have to go and tell everyone all our personal business and everything. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if you need help, seek it. Because we must work together. We are all in this together. When one member suffers, the body can feel it. That's just how it works. We must come together in unity, in Christ-like unity, sharing the faith, uplifting one another, helping one another, praying for each other. And united together, we will be much more enabled to stand these fiercely intense trials which are soon to burst upon people. Some may be unsuspecting of that which is to burst upon us, but definitely should be paying attention to the scriptures and the truth. Because if you don't, then it will catch you by surprise. And so, brethren, let us keep in mind Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, which says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man, no matter how bad it's about to get, and we know it is. No matter how much trial, no matter how much distress, no matter what they try to do to us, no matter what Satan tries to do to us, no matter how many fallen spirits try to convince people and try to appear, and even tempting God's people, trying to perform miracles in the sight of God's people, no matter how awful it is going to get, trust in God, trust in his word, and stand firm on it, and keep his commandments. That Sabbath blessings, you're going to hear music, and then the next voice you shall hear is that of Brother Lawrence.